I'm Jay Hughes, producer of Change Surfer Radio, and for the next half hour, I'll be your guide to a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future. Brought to you by the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies. Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. You're like me, you'd rather be the featured infidel at a Hamas rally than actually listen to George Bush's State of the Union address. But one section of that address got quite a bit of attention from the bioethical community, and that was the reiteration of a call for the banning of all forms of cloning, including stem cell cloning, therapeutic cloning. But he added a couple extra words there, and so we'll listen to that snippet.
A hopeful society has institutions of science and medicine that do not cut ethical corners and that recognize the matchless value of every life. Tonight I ask you to pass legislation to prohibit the most egregious abuses of medical research, human cloning in all its forms, creating or implanting embryos for experiments, creating human-animal hybrids, and buying, selling, or patenting human embryos. Human life is a gift from our Creator, and that gift should never be discarded, devalued, or put up for sale.
So we're talking here not only about the banning of cloning and the creating of forms of property in human life, which he was very careful to say, the patenting of embryos, not the patenting of genes, which of course goes on quite a bit today and is abhorrent and is something that I have been campaigning against myself. But the human-animal hybrids, that was an interesting bit of his talk, and that got quite a bit of attention from people. Here's what P.Z. Myers of the blog Pharyngula, he's a biology professor up in Minnesota, he responded to that bit this way. Creating chimeras, that is human-animal hybrids, is legitimate and useful scientific research. It's really happening. Of course, it isn't with the intent of creating monstrous half-animal, half-human slaves or something evil like that, and scientists are well aware, or should be well aware, of the ethical concerns, and it's the topic of ongoing debate. Let's consider one recent example of such an experiment. Down syndrome is a very common genetic disorder caused by the presence of an extra chromosome 21. That kind of genetic insult causes a constellation of problems, mild to moderate mental retardation, heart defects, and weakened immune systems, and various superficial abnormalities. It's also a viable defect and produces walking, talking, interacting human beings who are loved by their friends and families and who would really like to be able to do something about those lifespan-reducing health problems. We would love to have an animal model of Down syndrome so that, for instance, we could figure out exactly what gene overdose is causing the immune system problems or the heart defects and develop better treatments for them. So what scientists have been doing is inserting human genes into mice to produce similar genetic overdoses in their development. As I reported before, there have been partial insertions, but now a team of researchers have inserted a complete human chromosome 21 into mouse embryonic stem cells, and from those have generated a line of aneuploid mice that have many of the symptoms of Down syndrome, including heart defects. They also have problems in spatial learning and memory that have been traced back to defects in long-term potentiation in the central nervous system. These mice are a tool to help us understand a debilitating human problem. George W. Bush would like to make them illegal. Again, that was from the Pharyngula blog by P.Z. Myers. In fact, there is in the news this week some very encouraging news coming out of research on Down syndrome mice. This is from a press release from Johns Hopkins. Researchers at Johns Hopkins restored the normal growth of specific nerve cells in the cerebellum of mouse models of Down syndrome that were stunted by this genetic condition. The cerebellum is the rear lower part of the brain that controls signals from the muscles to coordinate balance and motor learning. The finding is important, investigators say, because the cells rescued by this treatment represent potential targets for future therapy in human babies with Down syndrome, and it suggests that similar success for other Down syndrome-related disruptions of brain growth, such as occurs in the hippocampus, could lead to additional treatments, perhaps prenatally, that restore memory and the ability to orient oneself in space. So, George, when you're talking about banning chimeras, that's what you're really trying to ban, the kind of scientific and medical progress that these kinds of chimeras are used to bring. My friend Nick Bostrom, the chair of the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies and also the director now of the Future of Humanity Institute at Oxford University, has an extremely simple way of telling some of his philosophical ideas. One essay that he's written that's extremely popular is The Fable of the Dragon Tyrant, which I read on Change Surfer last year, and explains the basic idea of a struggle for pro-longevity in simple terms that are very compelling. His latest essay in that vein is A Letter from Utopia, which I'm going to read now. Dear human, may this letter find you at peace and prospering. I hope you will forgive me for writing to you out of the blue. Although we have never met, we are not complete strangers. We are, in a certain sense, related. Closely related. I'm one of your possible futures. If all goes well, you will one day become me. If that does happen, then I'm not only a possible future of yours, but your actual future. In that case, I am a coming phase of you. I want to describe what my life is like so that you can see how wonderful this possible life is. You may then choose this future for yourself, making me real. While I'm writing this in the singular, I'm really writing on behalf of my contemporaries. We are addressing ourselves to all of our contemporaries. We are writing to you to ask you to make us real. Among our numbers are many who are your possible futures of your people. Some of us are possible artificial persons that you may one day create. What unites us is that we are all totally dependent on you to make us real. You could think of this letter as if it were an invitation to a ball, but the ball will only actually take place if you decide to turn up. We call the lives we lead here utopia. How can I tell you about utopia and not leave you mystified? What words could convey the wonder? What language could express the happiness that we have here? I fear that my pen is as unequal to the task as if I were trying to use it to kill an elephant. Yet, I will give it a try. My hope is that you will see through the inadequacies of my exposition and somehow intuit what I am trying to describe. I wish I were a better writer because there is so much at stake in this attempt at communication for both of us. Well, let me begin. As I look around this place, I see, but never mind what my eyes see. Have you ever experienced a moment of surpassing bliss? Maybe on the rapids of creative work, when a force greater than yourself is guiding your movements to trace out the shapes of truth and beauty, or perhaps you have found such a moment in the ecstasy of romantic love, or in an extraordinary success that you achieved with a team of good friends. Or perhaps there was a song or a melody that managed to smuggle itself into your heart, setting it alight with kaleidoscopic emotion. If you have experienced such a moment, experienced the best type of such a moment, then a certain idle but sincere thought may also have presented itself to you. Oh, heaven, I never realized it could feel like this. This is on a different level, so much more real and worthwhile than anything else. Why can't it be like this always? Why must good times end? I was sleeping, and now I'm awake. And yet, look, a little later, a few hours gone by, and the softly failing soot of ordinary life is already beginning to accumulate. The silver and gold of exuberance lose their shine. The marble becomes dirty. Everything takes on a slightly ashen appearance. Every way you turn, it's the same. Soot, casting its veil over all glamours and revelries, despoiling your epiphany, sodding up your white-pressed shirt and the clergyman's collar if you care to look. And once again, the familiar beat is audible, the beat of numbing routine, roiling along its tracks. The commuter trains loading and unloading their passengers, sleepwalkers, shoppers, solicitors, the ambitious and the homeless, the contented and the wretched, like human electrons shuffling through the circuitry of civilization. We do so easily forget how good life can be at its best and how bad at its worst. The most outstanding occasion, barely is it over when the street cleaning machines move in to sweep up the rice. Yellowing photos remain. And this is as it should be. We're in the business of living, and we're pros. The show must go on. Special moments are out-of-equilibrium experiences in which our puddles are stirred up and splashed about. And yet when equilibrium returns, we are usually relieved. We are not built for sustainable bliss. So you might once or twice have caught a glimpse of how good life can be, but the memory is difficult to access. Perhaps you doubt that realizing such a state on a more permanent basis would be compatible with remaining functional in the world. And in any case, you do not see how this could realistically be achieved. The door that was ajar begins to close. The sliver of hope disappears behind a blank surface. Quick, put a foot on that door. Hold on to your yellowing photos and examine them more closely, for they contain a clue. Your view of what is possible has been expanded. However dim your immediate prospects may be, the fact is that you have glimpsed the in-principle possibility of life above the clouds. I ask you to preserve this realization. Set aside a little conceptual space in some corner of your mind for the possibility of a higher state of being. Make sure there is always at least one coal left alive. I have invoked the memory of your best experience. To what end? I'm hoping to kindle in you a desire to share my happiness. And yet what you felt in your best moment is not similar to what I feel now. I'm pointing to it as a landmark only. It shows a direction. If the distance between your plateau and the tallest peak you know is 8 kilometers, then to reach my location, you would have to continue for another 1,000,000 light years. It is beyond the moon and the planets and all of the stars that your eyes can see. It is beyond your dreams. You cannot imagine what it is like here. My consciousness is wide and deep. I've read all the books that you humans had written in your time, and a good deal more. I know life from many sides and angles. I have swum in a whole spectrum of different cultures, more numerous than the words in your dictionary. Quite a bit of culture builds up over 1,000,000 years, even as the humble polyps amass a reef given enough time. Well, all this information I have incorporated into my mind, and much, much more. Each etching, each record cover, each toothpaste tube design, they are all lodged in my memory. And my appreciation of each object is as intimate as the appreciation that the most sensitive connoisseur has of her favorite artifact. The whole is more than the sum of its parts. It's not just the particular things, the paintings, books, epochs, lives, leaves, rivers, and random encounters, the satellite images and the particle collider data. It is also the complex interrelationships between these particulars that make up my mind. There are general ideas that can be formed only on top of such a wide experience base. There are depths that can only be fathomed with such general ideas. My experience is clear and intense. I don't conceive of this the way you would if you could somehow cram it all into your mind. My mind is shaped by what it has assimilated. I don't just think about deep truths. My thoughts themselves are deep. You could say, I am happy, that I feel good. You could say that I feel surpassing bliss. But these words are used to describe human experience. What I feel is as far beyond ordinary human feelings as my thoughts are beyond human thoughts. I wish I could show you what I have in mind, if only I could share 1 second of my conscious life with you. But that is impossible. Your container could not hold even a small splash of my joy. It is that great. You don't have to understand what I think and feel. If only you bear in mind what is possible within the present human realm, you should have enough of an idea to get started in the right direction, 1 step at a time. At no point will you encounter a wall of blinding light. At no point will you have to jettison yourself over an end-of-the-world precipice. As you advance, the horizon will recede. Although the transformation you will undergo is profound, it can be as gradual as the growth that transformed the baby you once were into the adult that you are now. This is not a religious vision. I do not presume to advise you in religious matters. The game that I am talking about is the one that is played out in the material world with pieces of metal, glass, and silicon, muscle, skin, and nerve. What I am urging you on is nothing more and nothing less than a new situation in this material world. Of course, you cannot affect this kind of change by the power of wishful thinking or by any simple change of mindset, nor by mental acrobatics, yoga, meditation, affirmation, magical incantation, not yet by democratization alone. Many of the key pieces on the board are not moved by those means. Fundamentally, the challenge before you is one of self-transformation. You need to grow up. This is not only about technology, but technology is necessary to achieve the deep changes that will enable you to participate in new ways of life. If you want to live and play on my level, you will need to acquire new capacities. To get to utopia and to experience firsthand what it is like here, you will need to discover the means to achieve 3 radical transformations. Transformation 1. Extend your healthy lifespan. Your biological body, in its current form, will not take you far. It wears out too soon. 80 years is not enough, even to get started in a serious way, much less to complete the journey. Genuine maturity of the soul takes more than 80 vigorous years to develop. Why, even a tree life takes more time than that to complete. take on the causes of early death, infection, violence, malnourishment, heart disease, cancer. Take on the deterioration your body undergoes as you age. Find ways to reduce the rate of aging or to reverse the negative effects of aging via regeneration therapy. Develop control over the biochemical processes in your body in order to eliminate more and more illness and senescence. In time, you will discover ways to move your mind to more durable media by augmenting your nervous system with hardware and by migrating into computers. Improve the system over time so that the risk of death and disease continues to decline. Asymptotically zero involuntary mortality over cosmological timescales is your ultimate aim. Any death prior to the heat death of the universe is premature if your life is good. Oh, aging is a cruel cage. Gnaw and pull at the bars, and you will slowly loosen them up. One day you will break the grid that kept your forebears imprisoned. Gnaw and pull, redouble your efforts. Transformation 2, boost your cognitive capacities. You have many special mental faculties: humor, spirituality, eroticism, music, mathematics, aesthetics, nurturing, gossip, narration. Aren't these the capacities and sensibilities that give life much of its meaning? Blessed you are if you possess several of these capacities to any significant degree, but their higher order manifestations are even better. These rooms have no ceilings. Be not afraid to grow. But what other capacities are possible beyond those that you currently have? Imagine the poverty of a world without music. What other harmonies are there that you lack the ears to hear? What riches are you forgoing because you lack the specific sensibilities required to unlock those vaults of value? What a pity to go through life in mental squalor because you are deaf, dumb, and blind to the infinite wealth of meaning that you would discover or invent if only you had the needed capacities. There is always music in the air, but without a suitable receptacle, the waves are imperceptible and travel in vain. Your capacities and sensibilities need to be enhanced beyond the level of any genius of your kind. You will also want to develop new faculties and acquire more general purpose intelligence so that you can learn, remember, and understand better. Sagacity is a means. You need understanding to find your way around the obstacles that you will encounter on your journey. But it is also part of the end, for it is in the space-time of awareness that utopia will exist. May the measure of your mind be vast and expanding. Oh, stupidity is a loathsome corral. Gnaw and pull at the poles, and you will slowly loosen them up. One day you will break the fence that held our forebears captive. Gnaw and pull, redouble your efforts. Transformation 3, elevate your emotional well-being. What is the difference between indifference and interest, boredom and thrill, despair and euphoria? Pleasure. A few grains of this magic ingredient are worth more than a king's treasure, and we have it aplenty here in Utopia. It infuses everything we do and everything we experience. We sprinkle it in our tea. The universe is cold. Fun is the fire that melts the blocks of hardship. It creates a bubbling celebration of life. Joy is the birthright of every creature. There is a beauty and joy here that you cannot fathom. It feels so good that if the sensation were translated into tears of gratitude, rivers would overflow. I wish I could elaborate, but language abandons me. I grope in vain for words to convey to you what all this amounts to. It's like a rain of the most wonderful feeling, where every raindrop has its own unique and indescribable meaning, or rather, it has a scent or essence that evokes a whole world. And each such evoked world is deeper, richer, subtler, more multidimensional than the sum total of what you have experienced in your entire life. I will not speak of the worst pain and misery that is to be got rid of. It is too horrible to dwell upon, and you are already aware of the ethical urgency of palliation. My point is that in addition to removing the negative, there is also an upside imperative to enable the full flourishing of enjoyments that are not currently realizable. The roots of suffering are set deep in your brain. Weeding them out and replacing them with sustainable, nutritious crops of well-being will require sophisticated methods and tools for the cultivation of your neuropsychological soil. But the problem is multiplex. All emotions, hate, contempt, jealousy, sadness, have a natural function. Take heed when you trim your feelings, lest you accidentally reduce the fertility of your plot. Fortunately, this is not a necessary consequence. Yet fools will build fools' paradises. I recommend you go easy on your paradise engineering until you have the wisdom to do it right. It is worth getting right. Oh, what a gruesome knot suffering is. Pull and tug on those loops, and you will gradually loosen them up. One day the coils will fall, and you will stretch out in delight. Pull and tug, and be patient in your efforts. May there come a time when suns rise and are greeted with joy by all the living creatures that they shine upon. How do you find this place? How long will it take to get here? I'm not able to pass you a blueprint for utopia, no timetable, no roadmap. All I can give you is my assurance that there is something here, the potential for a better life. There is a shore and a land such that if you could visit me here but for a day, you would henceforth call this place your home. This is the place where you belong. I've been trying to indicate the direction in which you have to go. Like Odysseus, you must journey and never cease to journey until you arrive upon this shore. Arrive, you might now be saying, but isn't the journey the destination? Isn't utopia a place that doesn't exist? Isn't the quest for utopia, as witnessed historically, just a dangerous folly and an incitement to mischief? My friend, that is not a bad way for you to think about it. Utopia is not a place or a particular form of social organization. The blush of health on a convalescent's cheek, the sparkling eye in a moment of wit, the smile of a loving thought. Utopia is the hope that the scattered fragments of good that we come across from time to time in our lives can be put together one day to reveal the shape of a new kind of life, the kind of life that ours should have been. Vitality, understanding, and pleasure are among its essential aspects. I'm concerned that the pursuit of utopia could bring out the worst in you. Please take my message in the right spirit. Many a moth has been incinerated in pursuit of a brighter future. Seek the light, but approach with care, and change course if you smell your wingtips burning. Light is for seeing, not dying. When you take up the quest, you will need a cool head. A difficult set of problems will confront you. To solve them will take your best science, your best technology, your best politics. Yet for each of the problems, there is a solution. The laws of nature permit a life like mine to exist. The building materials are all there. Your people must master the skills to use these physical elements to build yourselves up and to set the human spirit free. Do not accept that it is good for you and your friends to get sick and die in a cage. Do not assume that it's a blessing to be confined forever behind the fences of stupidity. Do not believe that there is nothing worth experiencing outside your current psychic limitations. Ever since one hairy creature picked up two flint stones and began knocking them together to make a tool, your ancestors have been rattling those bars, and they are getting looser all the time. The day of breakthrough is drawing nearer. And when finally the bars break, go out and deal with the problems of a free life. What sadder image of humanity's future could there be than that of a liberated beast that continues to pace the confines of its former cage? We love life here every second. Every second of life is so good that it would knock you unconscious if your mind had not been strengthened beforehand. My contemporaries and I bear witness, and we are asking for your help. Help us come into existence. Join us. Whether this tremendous possibility becomes a reality depends on your actions. If your empathy can perceive at least the outlines of the vision I'm describing, then your ingenuity will find a way to make it real. Human life, at its best, is fantastic. I'm asking you to create something even greater. Life that is truly humane. Yours sincerely, your possible future self. That was the essay Letter from Utopia by Nick Bostrom. You can find that at nickbostrom.com and also at ieet.org. He wrote that on January 1 of this year, and it's a paean to the idea of human transcendence. I presume that some of you, like me, are addicted to your news aggregator. I use bloglines.com, and you're able there to subscribe to all of your favorite blogs and podcasts from various news magazines, newspapers, you're just independent bloggers and so forth. And it all comes together in various groups. I have mine grouped in politics and science and medicine and so forth. The podcast area has been getting very interesting because there are a number of podcasts that are in very similar ideological space to Change Surfer Radio. And I just want to give a shout out to some of these fellow podcasters. The first is Sentient Developments podcast. Sentient Developments is a blog, and it's run by George Dvorsky, who is a longtime friend of mine and also one of the board members of the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies that puts out Change Surfer Radio. And his blog now has a podcast called Sentient Developments Roundup. If you go to sentientdevelopments@blogspot.com, you can find the link to subscribe to his blog and his podcast. Another blog that has come to my attention is The Future and You, Ideas and Opinions About the Future Based on Verifiable Facts of Today. The Future and You has a number of guests, which have also been guests on this show. It's run by Stephen Ewan Cobb, and you can find it at thefutureandyou.com. And someone who I've been a guest on the show of and who has been a guest on my show is Are You Serious? And he has started a podcast. His podcast can be found at mondoglobo.net. And he has two different podcasts that he does there. One is the Neophiles podcast, which is from his Neophiles magazine, podcasts of people he's had on that in that magazine, which includes me, and also the Mondo Globo feed itself, where he's aggregating some other people's podcasts. So listen to those. He has a lot of he just recently had one of the fellows of the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies, Rice Antentia, who's been a guest on this show before as well, and as well as Ron Bailey, who's been a guest on this show many times. Finally, let me mention an article that just came out in the Guardian newspaper from London called There Is No Stop Button in the Race for Human Reengineering. You should be able to find it pretty quickly if you Google for human reengineering and Madeleine Bunting's name. It's at guardian.co.uk. It comes out of a project in the British think tank Demos, which has been doing a project over the last year on human enhancement technologies. And they are attempting to come out with a fairly balanced, non-bioconservative, and certainly not transhumanist either, a take on the human enhancement debate. And Madeleine Bunting's article gives you a taste of some of the aspects of that debate and the way that it may be framed when this report, which I'm looking forward to, which is going to be called Better Humans, coming from Demos, when it comes out. So take a look for that. There is no stop button in the race for human reengineering. You've been listening to Change Surfer Radio, a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future, brought to you by the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies and produced at WHUS Stores at the University of Connecticut. I'm Jay Hughes, the host and producer of Change Surfer Radio and executive director of the IEET. If you want to learn more about the techno-progressive perspective of Change Surfer Radio and the IEET, or you want to share your thoughts about our programs, email me at director@ieet.org. You can find the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies at ieet.org. You can subscribe to a weekly podcast of Change Surfer Radio and listen to or download all of our shows since 1998, thanks to the Infos Radio Project at the Change Surfer website at changesurfer.com. So educate, agitate, and organize, and I hope to meet you in a sexy, high-tech, and yet radically democratic future.